Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, hear us. God the Father in heaven, have mercy. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy. Be gracious to us. Spare us, O Lord. Be gracious to us. Help us, O Lord.
That's the opening of the litany sung by the Cantorai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. An ancient prayer, to our modern ears, a long prayer, but not so long if you stop and think about it. It's a form of prayer that is often lost to us today. We do retain it to a certain degree. You hear those things, O Lord, have mercy, O Christ, have mercy, O Lord, have mercy, the common Kyrie that finds its way into our prayers so often. But what is it about the litany, about this form of prayer, and about the prayer itself that makes it not only something that stuck around with us, but something that ought to continue to be with the church? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 20th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be continuing, actually concluding our series on the daily prayer offices today with the litany. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. Listeners with the best questions or comments this hour will receive the CD, Evening and Morning, the Music of Lutheran Daily Prayer. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Or you can go to our Facebook fan page, leave a question or a comment on the litany for Pastor Will Whedon or on the daily prayer offices there as well, since we're concluding our series. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. A little bit later in hour two of the program, Scott Klusendorf joins us. We're going to respond to some recent comments made in a press conference by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. She was being asked about whether or not there's any kind of moral connection, any moral equivalence between what Kermit Gosnell was convicted of doing, murdering infants, and what happens in abortion clinics every day. She did not want to answer that question. Scott Klusendorf will be responding to some of that audio in hour two. Pastor Mark Buto joins us after that. We're going to talk about baptism and the death and resurrection of Jesus. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. A joy to be with you today.
Thank you very much for being one of the speakers at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It was a great way to kick off that morning to talk about worship, to get into its history and its substance.
Well, thank you. I was really honored to be with you and to talk about that vital subject.
This litany, first let's deal with the word. We often think of litany as list. People say, I have a litany of complaints. And what they mean is, I have a list of complaints. It doesn't have a positive connotation in today's parlance, but what is it? What kind of a prayer is it?
Well, litany is just the Greek for litania. It's it comes from the Greek. It just means a request, an entreaty, please do this. So if you have a honey-do list, you might have that be considered a litany. The way it's used in the church, though, it's specifically used for this kind of responsive prayer that it has the people's response be sort of repetitive over, well, if you think of Psalm 136 in the Bible, it's sort of like the foundation for how a litany runs, you know. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And the people know that's the response. And every time, oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever and ever. It enables the people to participate and sing without necessarily having text in front of them. That's really important in a day when it was rather difficult to have people have text in front of them.
So that psalm is a litany.
Yeah, that is exactly a form of litany, if you will, where the people have a response that's just very simple and repeats itself. I was going to say without variation. I say almost without variation. In the litany, there is variation depending on what part of the litany you're in. But the people soon learn what their part is, and they know how to say it back.
How ancient is this prayer or the prayer from which this prayer comes?
Well, you know, it's really hard to sort out the actual history of how far back this goes. We know for certain that in the Roman litany at the Roman liturgy at the beginning, there was a litany of some sort, of which our Kyrie is like the remnants that's left of that in the divine service. You know, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, or as in the more traditional service, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Over the centuries, we know the Gallican and from Gaul, like France, and then also the Eastern liturgies had litanies that followed after the homily and before the actual service of the sacrament itself, what we would call the prayer of the church. It existed in them in the form of a litany, where the response of the people was just an invariable, Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. And that litany form sort of begins to be taken up in the West with the use of processions. You travel, and the litany, as we think of the word now, the classic litany of the Western Church was traveling music, moving from church to church or moving around the church, and it covered that motion, if you will. Right before the dawn of the Reformation, the form that this particular litany had, this is the form that we have, our great litany, is derived from the so-called Litany of All Saints. And the Litany of All Saints, well, let me give you the beginning of the Litany of All Saints. This would have been, this took place during the Easter Vigil, and you would hear these words, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Lord of mercy, Christ of mercy, Lord of mercy. Then in Latin, but I'm going to put it in English. O Christ, hear us. O Christ, graciously hear us. O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O God, the Holy Ghost, have mercy upon us. O Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy upon us. So far, very familiar, right? But then catch a list of the next little bit. I'm going to run on for a bit with this to give you a flavor of it. Holy Mary, pray for us. Holy Mother of God, pray for us. Holy Virgin of Virgins, pray for us. St. Michael, pray for us. St. Gabriel, pray for us. St. Raphael, pray for us. All ye holy angels and archangels, pray for us. All ye holy spirit, orders of blessed spirits, pray for us. St. John the Baptist, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. All ye holy patriarchs and prophets, pray for us. St. Peter, pray for us. St. Paul, pray for us. St. Andrew, pray for us. St. James, pray for us. St. John, pray for us. St. Thomas, pray for us. St. James, pray for us. St. Philip, pray for us. St. Bartholomew, pray for us. St. Matthew, pray for us. St. Simon, pray for us. St. Jude, pray for us. St. Matthias, pray for us. You're beginning to get the feeling I could keep on going, because it keeps on going down the list. And after we get done with all the apostles and the evangelists and all those, and we get Stephen and Lawrence and Vincent and Fabian and Sebastian and Cosmas and Damian, it keeps rolling on, this list of saints. So Luther basically looks at that entire section of the prayer and goes, they already pray for us anyway, we don't need to do this. He yanks that out of the prayer. So all of a sudden, this prayer, which could go on for a long, long time in the Roman church, became much more manageable. I really wish I could have given the whole list, because it's not till the end of – it started out on page 1, and I printed it out here in, 12-point type? And it's at the end of page 3 that we finally finish this roll call of the saints asking for their prayers. And then
Single spaced.
It sounds again like the litany that we know. Well, Luther, basically, like I say, he pulls all of that out, and he recognized that the intercessions part of the litany really was weak and needed to be beefed up. And so he added – just some beautiful intercessions throughout it. He basically left the section called the obsecrations. We'll talk about that in a second. In place, that way he didn't really do much adjustment there. He added a few of the supplications, very beautifully stated. And he kept the basic structure, which was, you know, it begins with this invocation of the Trinity, and it ends with the Agnus Dei, and then some collects. So the form, solidly there, but with this whole long section of the saints yanked out from it.
With only a minute or so here before we take our first break, you mentioned that it had its origins in the Mass before, after, various places, that it's still retained in some form, even in the prayer of the day today. Is this intended to be a standalone service, small s? Is this intended to be standalone as is responsive prayer, as is matins, or as is morning prayer?
Yeah, the short answer to that is yes, it can be by itself as its own service, or it can stand within the divine service or within the daily offices. It actually exists in every liturgical form. I mean, it's a fabulously versatile prayer.
Is it a good substitute for the what would be the general prayer of the church during a regular divine service?
The Lutheran rubric prior to our new books had said that it may indeed substitute for that in a divine service, provided that the sacrament wasn't being celebrated in that divine service. In other words, I think the idea there was if you're keeping an eye on the time, and you know that if you're going to pray the litany, you're going to be spending more time in prayer than perhaps the general prayer or a typical prayer of the church would allow. And so therefore, they tended to restrict it. Our new book, however, says that it may be used during the divine service just quite simply in place of the prayers.
Since our listeners can't see the text in front of us, which in my the book that I'm looking at in the Lutheran service book, it well covers two pages facing pages.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it really take to pray?
People
aren't scared away from it.
Well, if you speak it, it really isn't quite so long. I'm guessing maybe somewhere between 3 and 4 minutes. If you sing it, it can go up to 9, 10 minutes.
Okay. Now that's long.
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the litany, concluding our series on the daily prayer offices. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, director of worship and chaplain for the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If you find yourself near the heart of Angelina County, Texas, then God wants you to visit the First Lutheran Church of Lufkin. We are gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear God's word of forgiveness in Christ, crucified for sinners, each Sunday morning beginning at 10:15. Further details and contact information can be found at our website, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net, fll.ctsmemberconnect.net.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, help us, good Lord.
Another section of the Litany. We're studying the Litany as the conclusion of our series with Pastor Will Whedon on the daily prayer offices on this Thursday afternoon, June the 20th. I have many questions about this. The first one is, it sounds like it's a form of prayer that if used often enough, even in that sung version that we're hearing there in our bumps out, if used often enough, the people's response no longer is, where are we in the prayer?
Oh, yes, right.
It's intended to become used with the book closed so that this becomes the prayer we simply pray, the responses we simply make.
Yeah, just like you wouldn't need to open your hymnal and follow along in the Our Father, so you wouldn't need to open your hymnal and follow along in the Litany. If you did it, you know, if you did it often enough, the music itself is very simple. Dr. Luther wrote the music, and it's a very, very easy to learn and memorize.
Now, you said there was two versions that come down to
Yeah, Dr. Luther, like he did with everything else, he starts with Latin, and then he moved to German. And so he just like he did with the Divine Service in 1523, a Latin version, 1526, a German version. When he begins this work, the Turk pressing on Vienna was like the moment at which he says, you know, we really need to have some public invocation and prayer, asking God's help, because Christendom is in peril right now. And so he says, is there a better way to do this than with the Litany? So he publishes the Latin Litany Revised, in which he just, like I said, stripped out the invocation of the saints and added some very specific intercessions that were appropriate for the time, and in fact, appropriate for all time. And then it wasn't very long after that that he also published a German version. Now, his German version became enormously popular, and it was used all throughout Lutheran lands. It was not altered a whit. In fact, that's kind of amazing. If his German service was tweaked here and there, right and left across the German territories. But when he translated the Litany, the consensus of the Lutheran church orders is, oh, man, he hit it perfectly there. And so you see it remained exactly the same. And it became the basis for the translation which Cranmer did for the Book of Common Prayer. Very much indebted to Luther's German Litany.
So the Anglican wing of the church is in essence, or at least at that time, was praying Luther's version.
Yeah, to the extent they still use their Litany, they still do use Luther's words. In fact, what's a real hoot is the Anglicans who became Western Rite Orthodox still pray the Litany, and they still pray the Litany with Luther's words, which is gives me a great deal of amusement.
Now, you say that this is a prayer. It's the prayer that embraces suffering. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, there is a fabulous quote by Professor Byart Jones that Luther de Reed cites. Listen to these words. He says, "The despairing petitions of ancient faiths contain none of the trust in the prevailing goodness of God's providence which inspires the Litany. Modern cults evade and ignore suffering. Christianity alone accepts the fact of suffering as enshrined in the heart of God himself, lifts it up in sacrifice to him, and nails it to the cross of Christ." Oh, that's a beautiful description. I mean, you're going to hear as we go through the actual words of the Litany, this massive concern for the suffering in this world. It's going to be powerfully present.
Well, and it begins, interestingly enough, after the opening verses there that we heard before. It begins as the kind of the substance of the petitions with from all sin, from all error, from all evil. I mean, we are acknowledging our position here in this fallen world.
Beggars. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The sin, error, evil, and then this from the crafts and the assaults of the devil. From sudden and evil death. I love that. The church teaches us to pray that God would deliver us from a sudden and evil death means here a death unprepared. The rich fool who thinks he's got everything lined up and he's not worried about anything and he goes to bed and dies. Lord, prevent us from such a death. From pestilence and famine, war and bloodshed. Think about Luther's day and age. Think about the Turk at Vienna. Think about the mess in Germany. From war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion. Think about what they'd lived through with the servants or the peasants' revolt. From lightning and tempest, you can't help but think about Luther's falling down with the lightning storm, can you? From all calamity, by fire and water and from everlasting death. Good Lord, deliver us. Powerful grasp of all this kind of nasties that happens to us in this life, but recognizing the nasty behind all nasties is to die without faith in Christ and to know that only God can prevent that. Good Lord, deliver us.
Is this precisely what we're praying for, although albeit in far fewer words, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from
evil. Yeah, Losius, I think, is the one who said that this, or maybe it was Luther, Losius quoting Luther, said that this entire litany is nothing but an exercise on the Lord's Prayer. Everything we have in the Lord's Prayer is just unpacked here in greater detail.
So we have this petition, this opening petition that says, we live amidst what one of the colic calls the changes and chances of life, or amidst many dangers. That this is a dangerous and cruel and hard world that we're living in.
Yeah, there was a time in American history, I think, when we really believed that we've overcome all those kind of things from the past, you know, and all things are bright and beautiful and we don't need to worry. And the litany seemed a little bit out of place. In today's world where things are so stressful and challenging on every hand, all of a sudden the litany rings with greater, it pictures reality for us in a greater way than those optimistic prayers of the past.
Is that kind of a, just in a general sense, a test of a good prayer, that it can be prayed when all is bright with the world and Whedon's swimming pool is just the right temperature?
Yes.
And it can also be prayed when a tornado blows down your house.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of the Divine Service being celebrated in one of the bombed out cathedrals of Europe. And you look at that picture and you go, yeah, it can be prayed there. You know, the Divine Service totally fits there. In a similar way, in such a setting, wouldn't it be the most natural thing in the world to pull out the Great Litany and pray from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion? Good Lord, deliver us.
The next section deals with, it's kind of creedal material.
Well,
and this question comes from Kevin in Florida. Please explain the stanza that recounts the events of Jesus' life. How are we to understand the connection between these events and the petition, help us, good Lord, that follows?
Yeah, it's a really great question, Kevin. The obsecrations, as they're called, are giving you the basis for the prayer. And what they do is confess that every single aspect of our Lord's life is salvific. We totally misunderstand what our Lord did if we think that his entire life was only the cross, that only what happened on the cross is what saves us. Rather, his entire life of obedience is what saves us. So from the very first moment of his incarnation, his holy birth, your birth is sinful. It needs to be cleansed by a holy birth. Your conception is sinful. It needs to be cleansed by a holy conception. His baptism is what gives our baptism its power. His fasting is what gives us the strength in our temptations. His agony and bloody sweat, of course, are our very righteousness before the Father. His cross, his passion, his death. His death sanctifies our tomb, his burial. By his glorious resurrection and ascension, he opens wide the kingdom of heaven to all believers. And by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he gives to us faith that all of these things are true for us.
This part reminds me very much. I love finding the connections to correspondence that we have in the Divine Service. It reminds me very much of the prayer that's prayed after the words of institution, one of the forms of the Divine Service. O Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember, and the list sounds the same, your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, your final coming in judgment, and then follows the Lord's Prayer. That seems to have kind of fallen out of, except for those several places, we don't do a lot of meditation upon the saving life of Christ in prayer.
It's certainly one of the sad things that people have sort of stopped thinking that way. The Middle Ages had tons of resources for thinking that way about, you know, all your way through the life of Christ, and they came full blast into Lutheranism too, although we did tend rightly to focus mostly upon the cross. But yeah, that anamnesis out of the divine service is indeed very much of a piece with the obsecrations of the litany, asking, you know, on the basis of Christ's whole life, on the basis of everything he ever said and did and was for us, he is the basis by which God gives us help. In other words, we don't have any standing to ask any of these things before God if it's not in union with Christ. So, like, all that is, if you will, a commentary on the hour of the Our Father. You know, this all comes to us because Jesus extends all this to us in his life.
So it is by these things that we are helped. When we say, help us, good Lord, we are saying these are the things by which Christ helps us.
Yeah, the entire life of Christ is indeed the answer to our plea for help and salvation from God.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend some more time with Pastor Will Wheaton. It's the conclusion of our series on the daily prayer offices today, the Litany. Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are giving away a CD on Lutheran prayer to the listener with the best question or comments. That means you can give us a call live. We're coming to you this Thursday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page. Leave a question for Pastor Wheaton right there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. Journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. Journal.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Lutheran. It's not a label, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Susan G. Komen Foundation ignited a huge controversy after announcing they were ending funding of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. A few days later, they caved into intense pressure and recanted the decision. Ever since, Komen has seen a declining donor base because the enormous controversy alerted pro-lifers everywhere that Komen funded Planned Parenthood. Now, Komen has announced their canceling fundraising walks next year in seven major cities: Phoenix, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. will not be hosting the event. Komen should have stuck to their initial decision to not fund part of the abortion industry. They could have weathered the storm and picked up tens of thousands of pro-life donors and helped even more women.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have heard and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Another list of the petitions in the litany. We're studying the litany as the conclusion of our series on the daily prayer offices with Pastor Will Whedon. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. That comes a little bit later here, and we've got so much to talk about. This line that you told me during the break is pure Luther.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the original.
No.
He wrote it in himself. In all time of tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, there's that emphasis on death again.
Mm-hmm.
And on the day of judgment, help us, good Lord.
Yeah, I think that nothing shows you Luther's pastoral heart better than to look at that and say, we need God's help when things are going terrible in our lives. And notice he puts that first. Yes, that's overwhelmingly we get to say, you know, this life is tribulation. Yet there's also times that things go really well. And then we're especially in danger. So we ask for God's help in all time of our prosperity. But most of all, in the hour of death, when Satan's throwing at you every single thing you've ever done wrong in your life and holding that up to your eyes and showing it to you and saying, you know, you have no reason to hope in the mercy of God. You need God's help at that moment like never before. And of course, we even ask for God's help on the day of judgment, which is an amazing thing. He's coming to judge our lives. Our Lord Jesus will pass judgment upon our lives. And yet we look at him and we plead for his mercy and help on that day to be found faithful and in him.
I do want to inquire just a little bit on the help us, good Lord, which is in this section, at least in those two petitions, is the prayer that we're asking. It almost seems too little to say good Lord, but what are we saying in that good about the Lord to whom we are praying?
You can't even hear the word good Lord without hearing the Lord Jesus in that discussion, right, with the verse. Why do you call me good? There is no one who is good except God alone. And of course, the Lord Jesus there is inviting the man to see, do you really see who you're talking to here? Do you really believe that I'm good? Because if you believe that I'm good, then you believe that I'm God. And when we call him good Lord, we are confessing that about him. He is a Lord who is truly and only good in this whole world, the source of every benevolence.
The petition we just heard,
mm-hmm,
coming out of the break,
yeah,
about the church, pastors, schism, offense, truth, the preaching of the gospel, I love that line, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send laborers into the harvest. What are we talking about there?
Well, this is, again, a set of petitions that Luther highly redacted. The original prayed for your holy Catholic Church, that you would conserve its, to rule and govern your church. Then it may please you to preserve the apostolic Lord, that is the Pope, you know, and all the orders of your church in the sacred religion, that it may please you to overthrow the enemies of your church. That's about as far as it went. Luther had a much more practical concern. So when he prays to rule and govern your Christian church. And he knew that there were two things that really beset the church problematic, you know, there were problems here. Look at what he says, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, there's one, and to sustain them in holy living, there's number two. There's two ways that God's word can be falsified here, by the false things that people say and then say, thus says the Lord, and by living contrary to what the word of God says, profaning the name of God that way. So we ask for both of them, that the church, the ministers of the church would be protected in this. And in the original German, as in the Latin, he specifically includes, he doesn't say pastors and ministers, he includes bishops, pastors, and ministers. In other words, also those who are governing the church. He prays that God would put an end to all schisms and causes of offense. A Roman Catholic might scratch their head and say, ironic that a Lutheran would be praying to put an end to all schisms. Aren't they the original schismatics? And we want to say, well, you got to look at this again from the perspective of Luther. What causes schism in the church is every departure from the Word of God. So we pray that all those that have departed from the Word of God be brought back into the way of truth, especially those who have erred and are deceived. And then that God would beat down Satan under our feet, you know, very biblical language there, and send faithful laborers into his harvest. Jesus specifically told us to pray for that and to accompany God's word by his grace and his spirit. You can't ask better things for the church, for your pastor, for the whole church of Christ on this earth than these things.
To beat down Satan under our feet is kind of a, coupled with sending laborers into the harvest, kind of evokes a picture of Satan wants to stand in the church's way. Mm-hmm. He wants the gospel to not be preached.
Yeah, yeah.
Not be heard.
Yeah. It always strikes me as really odd that people hear the Matthew 16 passage backwards. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They picture hell besieging the church. No, it's the other way around. The church is marching out into Satan's kingdom, and Satan's kingdom can't withstand the saving gospel of truth that we bring in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, this joyful good news is something that Satan's kingdom can't stand up against.
The church is besieging the gates of
hell. Yeah, we're storming. We're not being stormed.
And then to raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
Luther again. Again, okay. Uniquely Luther in his prayer here and asking for such – look at the tenderness of this. To raise those who fall. So recognizing, first of all, that there are – you know, Christians fall all the time. There was a monastic practice where you just got up and down. You fell, you stood up. You fell, you stood up. And if you asked, what are you doing? They would say, practicing. And this is what Luther's praying, that those who fall would be raised up. The problem is not that you've fallen into sin. It's that you give up and don't get on your feet again. And to strengthen those who stand, recognizing, man, we can only do this by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 10 ringing big in there. If you think, you know, let him who stands take heed lest he fall. And then asking for the comfort and help for everybody who's weak-hearted and distressed, for those who are really struggling to hold on to faith, who are struggling to believe the promises of God. He prays, oh Lord, strengthen them, comfort them, help them. And the people all pray. We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
What's the next petition about? It seems to focus on domestic life.
Yeah, we've gone sort
civil life and domestic life.
We sort of gone from the church in the state of Christians in their weakness. Now we move to the state of the domestic world, if you will. So first of all, we ask that he would give to all peoples concord and peace, that he would rescue our land from discord and strife, and would give to our country your protection in every time of need. Now that is a weasel way of praying, but was originally there. That was originally to pray that we would give our country victory over all its enemies. And it was afraid that that would be heard merely as militaristic triumphalism, and that's not what it was intended. I mean, the enemies of our country can be our own greed, our own self-satisfaction. This can be, mm-hmm. you know, our enemies. And certainly in this country, racism and all the nastiness that went with that, we pray for victory over that. I wish we still had that in the prayer. Then to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage. And you might think about the bondage here being bigger than just being thrown into jail, and to have mercy on us all. We implore you to hear us, good Lord. Powerful prayers for our civil and domestic lives.
Now, you think we've prayed for everything. And then there's one more person to be prayed for in the last petition, the one that we don't want to pray for. But Christ says we ought to.
Yes. In fact, he commands us to do this. So it's not an accident that we have the prayer to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. And also, he throws in there, to give and preserve to our use the kindly fruits of the earth, graciously to hear our prayers. you can't read this long series of prayers here without immediately hearing the its echoes of the way the early church prayed for all these kinds of things regularly in the divine service. You know, the prayers for travelers, the prayers for prisoners, the prayers for people who are persecuting and hurting us, and for preserving the fruits of the earth. All of them acknowledge that every good gift is only coming from God and from His mercy. And so we ask all of these things from Him.
The response there is, we implore you to hear us, good Lord. And that word implore is rather strong. It is, there's a pleading quality to this prayer.
Yeah, I mean, remember the old version was, we beseech thee to hear us, good Lord. I like that. You know, if you were to just put it into normal English, I think we'd say, we beg you. We beg you to hear us.
You used that word at the beginning of our conversation.
Yeah, beggars. This is the beggar's prayer. When Luther could write that at the end of his life, it's because he lived the litany. This was how the man prayed. He would, I said to you during the break, he gathers up the promises of God and he teaches us how to hurl them at despair. That this is the very nature of prayer, this wrestling to hold tight to what God promises to give us. And to ask it from him, and to ask it from him in confidence.
I remember hearing that insight when talking about prayer one time, John Pless, I think it was, saying prayer to, and he stole it probably from Luther or C.S. Lewis, and they probably all stole it from each other. Our prayer does not begin in our need, but our prayer begins in the promises of God, in the
yes.
Word of God. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. We're studying the Litany with Pastor Will Wheaton, concluding our series on the daily prayer offices.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org, shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we implore you to hear us. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace.
The conclusion of the litany, we're studying it as the conclusion of our series on the daily prayer offices. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Before we go to the phones and to the listeners' questions, I had mentioned before the break this insight that I got from John Plessen, he stole from others, that prayer does not begin. What's the origin of prayer? Not in our need, not in our circumstances, but in the word and promises of God. You nod your head. Why is that?
It's simply the way Christian prayer actually grows. It grows literally out of taking the promises of God and holding him to those promises. That's the very nature of faith. I think that you cannot get a better understanding of prayer than Jacob wrestling with the angel, and I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is prayer. This is exactly what the Christian learns to do.
Let's see what Mike has to say. He listens in Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource, and thanks for the topic. And gentlemen, I'm a former evangelical, and in the evangelical church, they got all these programs, and you know, that you work on in order to satisfy God or gain God's favor or whatever. And just this past week, I visited a new LCMS church that I'd never been to before. And it's one of these contemporary LCMS churches. Evidently, they've thrown out the everything that's Lutheran, the liturgy and the litany and just everything. And gosh, I don't understand why they would do this. As a former evangelical, I can't tell you how exhausted I am. I mean, I'm not able to do the programs that they're asking me to do to get better. And here's what the litany does for me. What the litany has done for me is it tells me who I am, that I'm not good, I'm not a good person, and I can't make myself good. And then it says, but wait, we got something good for you. And then they give me the Redeemer who is good in my place. I mean, don't Lutherans understand what this does for us? This gives us rest. And I have to tell you, pastors, I'm tired. I'm more than tired. I'm exhausted. I've still got my cancer. I've still got all the other sins to deal with, and I can't do any more work on these programs. So my Joel Osteen's Jesus doesn't show up for me. I can't pray my cancer away. Tim Tebow's Jesus doesn't show up for me. I can't be successful in my career and my job, no matter how hard I try. And then I attend a Lutheran church service, and what do I get? I get more work to do. I'm exhausted. So here's my question. My question is, you Lutherans have something here in the litany and the entire liturgy. You've got something that is absolute gold for us people that are just worn out. And what do? With it? You hide it and put it in the back room, and when I show up for your church service, you put me to work. Is that crazy or what? Why are Lutheran pastors ashamed of the litany and the entire liturgy?
Mike, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas City.
Wow, you know, I
guess the right guy. It's your job to answer that question.
Well, you know, I can only say to Mike that when Lutheran pastors have, you know, tossed it out, thrown it out, they're thinking that they're offering to their people something that they think is better. But if they could hear you, if they could hear the exhaustion in your voice, they would get that there is nothing better that we have to offer troubled, broken hearts than the finished work of Jesus Christ and the peace that the liturgy conveys as it holds that finished work up and proclaims it to you as your own, as your all-sufficient righteousness before the Father. We said so many times, the liturgy is such a great gift because of the way it ties to the article on justification. That's its great. It is able to give rest to troubled consciences because it proclaims Christ as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, as we just heard here at the end of the litany, where he is the one who is the source of mercy and of peace. So, you know, my plea to any Lutheran pastors that are listening is listen to what he just said. Take it to heart and start forking over to your people the riches that are yours. Don't buy into a mess of evangelical pottage when you can have the evangelical Lutheran birthright of the historic liturgy, especially the prayer treasures of something like the litany.
Franklin in St. Paul, Minnesota, similar question. Why don't a lot of churches do the litany? The only place I ever heard it, he says, is in playing Easter Vigil at the Catholic churches?
Again, I think a lot of our pastors are sadly unfamiliar with it. It's a shame. It is part of our heritage. Was it 3 years ago, 2 years ago? I can't remember. President Harrison encouraged all of the members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to join him in a daily discipline during Lent of praying each single day the litany. And so many people that began and finished that journey with him commented that they had, it was like, it opened their eyes to this treasure like they'd never seen it before. And I know a number of people said to me that they're, you know, it's the end of Lent, but I don't want it to be the end of my daily praying of this. This has just been too good. And I hope that it's become more widespread in use with its inclusion right there in the center of Lutheran service book.
Eric in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, he says, this is my three-year-old's favorite prayer. One night during devotions, he just started to sing, Lord have mercy. He could barely pronounce the words. I think this is a testimony to the Holy Spirit working in and through his baptism. What do you think about that?
I think that sounds absolutely right on. The Holy Spirit is the one who moves us to pray.
Brian in Butler, Pennsylvania, echoing something that you mentioned earlier before, says the litany is the greatest exposition, okay, the second to the catechism, of the Our Father.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that. As you work your way through it, you understand, what are all these evils that we ask to be delivered from? What is the daily bread that we actually ask for? How is God's name hallowed? I mean, if you go through, you can see how each of the petitions ties very specifically to a prayer in the litany itself. It is truly a general great prayer. Its scope is so huge. By the time you're done praying the Great Litany, is there any human being on earth that you've neglected to pray for? Anyone in need that you haven't brought to the throne of God's grace and deposited there? I don't think so. It's literally to. There was an old Russian that said, you know, the church's prayer, the prayer of the church, literally takes the world in hand as an apple and presents it to God. And this is exactly what the litany does. By the time you're done, our hands have reached out over the whole world.
In this prayer, we pray to be spared, to be helped, to be heard. But more than anything else in this prayer, we pray for mercy.
Mercy and peace.
We say, have mercy.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
Talk about what is it we are essentially asking for in the course of this great prayer of the litany.
Well, when we ask God to have mercy upon us, number one, we're not just asking for forgiveness, but we are asking that he be gracious to us in giving us absolutely everything that we need. And we're confessing when we use the word mercy that there's no deserving on our part of any of the things that we're not saying you owe us any of this, not a bit. All of it we're asking only by grace, as Luther again says in the exposition of the Lord's Prayer, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment alone. Yet we ask that he would give all things to us by grace. And that's the content of the word mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord.
What's the best way if someone wants to reintroduce this in the home? What's the best way?
Well, you know, I think that getting the CD, because you know, I do believe it is actually better sung than simply said. You can certainly just pray it at home without the singing of it.
But it's more easily memorized.
It's much more easily memorized sung. And if you get the CD, there's that we've been hearing is the bump music on this from Evening and Morning. That CD will enable you to learn how the prayer actually is sung. And once you do, and it takes, I think, 9 minutes, something like that, to do the whole prayer. It's absolutely fabulous. By the time you're done, you will have one more thought. If you're going to do it in your home, pick up the traditional days. The litany is traditionally prayed in the Lutheran Church on Wednesday and on Friday. These are penitential days. And using these days, the day that Jesus was betrayed by Judas and the day that he hung upon the cross. So both of these days tied to Holy Week become days of penitence and prayer. And they were also fasting days in any of the seasons of fasting, Advent or Lent, days when people would not eat until after sunset. So you have this beautiful practice of intensifying your prayer at the time of our Lord's betrayal, thinking of the betrayals in our lives of our Lord, and of our Lord's suffering and death for us. And using it on those days, it acquires even greater meaning in our life.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and the Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks for being our guest, and thank you again. I thanked you at the beginning, but thank you again for not only making a presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, but also for leading the great hymn sing. I will tell our audience, I don't think he opened the hymnal the whole time. He just sat there and sang the hymns straight out of his memory.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much. If I did that, I tell you what, I probably got half the words wrong.
I don't think
they keep changing the words.
Well, that's true. Let's see. Kevin in Florida, if you would send your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you that CD that Pastor Whedon was just talking about, Morning and Evening. In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time first with Scott Klusendorf. Nancy Pelosi was asked a simple question. What is the moral connection, if any, between what Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia abortionist, did when he was murdering children and what happens every day in abortion clinics all across the country? She did not want to answer that question. She did have something to say, and we'll hear it and we'll respond to it in hour two of Issues Etc. By the way, you can get that CD, Evening and Morning, The Music of Lutheran Daily Prayer, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.